This isn't coffee. I'm not going to be that relaxed up here, okay? So it is just water. I am grateful to have the opportunity to come and speak. I do want to say, Craig, Mike's very fortunate to have you on staff, and you do great work. You hustle. I mean, you're just a great worker, man. I appreciate it. And if I had a church, I would hire you. But since I don't have a church, you better stay here. I noticed that the seats aren't filled in the front. Is my brother a spitter? I mean, is that? I know he's all over the stage and down and up. And I wonder if sometimes if you think he's going to trip and fall, that would call me when that happens. I'd like to watch that. But he gets on the edge and he leans forward. Mike's, by the way, is 2.5 years older than me, so I'm his younger brother. And so, yeah, I did a lot of things to torture him, and it was a lot of fun. Just before I go any further, man, the worship team, was it Peter, Paula, and Mary, and Johnny? It was said they were all, you guys were awesome. Thank you for getting us ready for, I don't know what y'all call them, the band or the, you know, I don't know if you had a name put it, but I gave it a name. And I didn't see Johnny on the piano until later, so I know that's not their names, but they got us ready for worship, and I appreciate it. It was great listening to you guys worship the Lord. But yeah, Mike is, he's unique. I know you're grateful to have him, and I know you're blessed by that, and he's a great pastor. I know we're on a lot of trips when he and I go together. If you ever ridden in the car with Mike, I suggest you don't. He drives like he preaches. And it's fast and all over the road. And he is, the whole trip, I thought, you say, yeah, Jeff, let's get together with me and you to have some you and me time. You know, it's no me and you time. He's talking to you guys because he can't get away from y'all. He has such a love for you, and it's evident. And it's evident the way you love him. And well, let's don't talk good about him anymore because that doesn't really make a fun Sunday morning, does it, really? I have some more other negative things that he does, and I can tell you those out in the foyer, and because I know he's going to be watching and he's going to check on me. But anyway, well, let's get started. I'm so grateful to be here, to be able to share with you God's word. I appreciate him trusting me with his time. I know I always come to the crawfish bowl. He trusts me with that, and over the years and some, whatever, 35 or 40 years, I don't know, he's been here a long time. Every now and then, he's allowed me and trusted me to come and share on occasion. And so I'm very fortunate and blessed when I get to come. It's always good. And so I'm going to be dealing with Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 through 9. And I'm not going to get to it quite yet, so you'll have plenty enough time to get there. But I want to just talk to you a little bit about the Christian faith. You know, the Christian faith, when we were in darkness and came into the marvelous light, it was life-changing when Jesus got a hold of our lives, when some of you accepted him as your personal Savior, and that journey began. The journey to walking with Christ started. I know the verse, Colossians 2:6 says, you therefore receive Christ Jesus, so walk in him. And so you've been walking in this journey. And it is a journey. It's not an easy one. Sometimes it's a long road. It's a difficult road. Sometimes it's a little bit easier than some days, but for the most part, it can be a difficult road for us, for you and me. And for me to tell you it is the yellow brick road would be a lie. Because it's not. It's a road with twists and turns and turns that sometimes are unexpected. There'll be struggles in our lives. There's tragedies in our lives, and there are all kinds of different things that had happened along the way. It's not always amen, hallelujah. I don't know why some of our brothers preach that because it's not. I have not found it to be that, and people I deal with, I have not found it for that. It is hard. It is difficult. And some days it's hard to even get out of bed. And some days it's hard just to speak or to get out and to proclaim God's word. It's not always easy. It is not always easy. It is hard. But it's a rewarding one when we are walking with Christ and he gives us all the tools that we need. He gives us everything that we're going to need on this journey to be able to persevere. Now, persevere is a great word. It's not a word I hear much in the pulpit, but it's a word that we must understand that when we persevere, it means that we continue to move forward. When we, according to Romans chapter 12, when we come to Christ, we are invited to run a race. It tells us that that we are in the starting blocks and we are running a race, according to Romans 12:1. But it's a race that is only by invitation. It is only by invitation. You don't get to run this race unless you come to Christ. In other words, you're running a race to destruction. But you're running this race to life. And as you are running it, and I want you to just understand that I'm not running against you and you're not running against me. We're not competing with one another. We are running this race. And along this race, in the middle part of it, it gets difficult. You know, it's exciting when you come to Christ. And man, you're excited and you want to share your faith. And as you age and as you mature and as you grow in your faith, you see there's much more challenges. Now, the finishes are pretty easy on this race too. Because the finish line is when you die. That's easy. Okay? But it's this in-between stuff that is difficult to run. And it's sometimes we don't run it very well. But we're called to run this race. Well, I'm not there. That's not my passage, but what we are. Let's get to Joshua 1:9. I want to read that to you through God's word. Joshua 1:9. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, and verse 2 tells us, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea and to the west. And in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their creators. Ancestors, so to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law, as Joshua 1:8 says, the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. And then you will prosper and it's successful. And I have not commanded you, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, this is the reading of God's word, and I love the fact that he's telling Joshua that be strong and courageous. This is the journey you are now on. But I want you to know that we must grasp a few things. There's three things that I really want you to get with me this morning. The first one is we must lean into God's promises. We must lean into God's promises. I want to ask you this question. Because this is the only question I'm going to ask you today, this morning. But are you fulfilling God's purpose in your life? Are you fulfilling God's purpose in your life? And I think when we understand what our purpose is, what's the next event that God wants to do a work in our life, and he will prepare us, he will get us ready, he will give us that promise, be strong and courageous. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be with you. So, are you fulfilling God's purpose in this life? We must lean in to God's promises. Now, let's do a little backstory, but let's go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Genesis 12, we're doing a little backstory here to give us some ideas of what's taking place in Joshua's life. 12:2, the call of Abram. And the Lord said to Abram, well, I'm going to do verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. And here's the verses, the two verses that I want you to see. I want to make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. So he's telling them that here's the promise. Now, God doesn't go back on his promises. God is a God that doesn't renege on his promises. Once he tells you what he's going to do, he does it. And that's the God that we serve. It may not be in the time frame that you want it to be, but when he gives you that answer, when he prompts you, when he tells you to go, you may not understand it and you may not see it. But nonetheless, it's the promises from God. And we must lean into God's promises. And we must receive those promises. And we must hang on to those. Remember, this life is a race. As believers, we're running this race. And we are probably, most of us, in the middle of our race. Some of you just got started. Some of you are, well, in the two-minute warning, maybe. I don't know. I'm not looking at any of you. Some of you have been in two-minute warning for a while. But nonetheless, you understand this part of the race. And so we are going to get through this race because we are going to lean into God. And he's going to, not only his promises, but his preparation for our life and for, because it's his plan. So those are the three things that we're going to take a look at. Now, let's do a little bit of backstory on what's going on here. All the way back to that, we went to Genesis. We see Abram. God said, you're going to be a great nation. You're going to be a great nation. God changes Abram's name to Abraham, and he has a son named Isaac. And Isaac has a son named Jacob. Or, of course, he also had the twins, Jacob and Esau, but Jacob has sons. But Jacob wrestles with God. I mean, Jacob, y'all know his story. But Jacob wrestles with God. And so that's what Israel means wrestles with God. And so we see that Jacob, and he has 12 sons, and they were, that's where we get the 12 tribes, okay? And Joseph is one of the 12, and you know his story. God used him in a great way. I mean, all you got to do is go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and see the great heroes of the faith. And you can see all these guys and men and women of the faith. But they all struggled, and they all went through different challenges and during their part of their race as well. The Bible in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 tells it's a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I believe they're not just a great cloud of witnesses. I believe they are not a seeing witness, but a saying witness. It is for us to be encouraged that they have walked this journey. They have run this race. And as they've run this race, they finished well. And we saw the ups and downs in their life as well. But nonetheless, we see how they're part of their race. And we can grab from that, and we can be encouraged by that, and we also, too, are encouraged and blessed by their race as well. Just like you're a blessing, the race that you're running, to others. Someone has run that race and they've showed you before, you know what that race looks like, and now you're going to mentor others to run that same race. So, Joseph, you know the story about Joseph. So Joseph gets favor with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is, so Joseph's kind of second in command in Egypt, which is a great thing to have for the Hebrew children. But the Pharaoh dies, and so does Jacob die. And so the new Pharaoh doesn't really know about the backstory on Joseph. And so he sees all these Hebrew slaves, or sees all these Hebrew children, and he says to himself, I'm going to make them slaves. I'm going to put my thumb on them with a heavy hand, and I'm going to get them to do all the work. And so he takes the millions of these Hebrew children, and he has a heavy hand on them. So the people cried out, and so God sends them Moses. And we know that Moses has lived in the Egyptian household for about 40 years. He's lived there for 40 years. And then he has a bad day. He kills someone, you know. And everybody has a bad day every now and then. And so you'll understand this about me too. My brother has a filter. I'm the one in the family who does not. So if it pops in my head, sometimes I say it. Okay? That's why I'm really good in men's ministry. Okay? And so sometimes when a mixed audience, it's somebody's like, oh, but I should have said that. But anyway. And so he goes off in hiding and becomes a shepherd for 40 years. And then God brings him in. And at 80 years old, Moses leads the people out, and they go to the Red Sea, and he leads his people through the Red Sea. And I want to just say something here real quickly about the Red Sea being parted. I would have loved to have seen that. I hope that one day when we're in heaven, when I'm in heaven too, I hope that we get to see some of this, you know, kind of a replay of the Red Sea parting. I would love to see the look on the Egyptians' faces. I'd like to look to see what's on the Hebrews' faces. I would just love to have that, you know. So I'm hoping that that one day when we're in heaven, we're going to have not ESPN, but something similar to that. Like, let me show you the parting of the Red Sea. Wouldn't that be awesome? Because I really would love to have seen what was taking place. My imagination, you know, can only go so far, but I would love to see that. And so I'm hoping that I get to see that, you know. And you're probably saying, well, good for you. Okay, so. All right, so then he sends 12 spies, because God told him to send 12 spies and to go look out at the land. And there's 12 of them, and so one from each tribe. And so when they come back, they give a bad report, except for two of them. And you know, that's Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb give a favorable report, said, who can be against us? If God's with us, who can be against us? We've got this. But the rest of them, what did they do? They went and stirred it up. They went and said, there's no way we can do this. They went and badmouthed, you know, Moses and Joshua and Caleb. And they said bad things about him and said, there's no way. There's giants. We're like grasshoppers to them. And so they kind of stirred it up. You know, we got people who love to stir things up, don't we? We got people who just love drama. You know, I always said, I really don't want any more drama. I got enough drama on my own, but why would I want somebody else's? Well, they created this whole drama by saying that we can't take this because of their own lack of confidence and their own lack of faith. And so what they want to do is they want to justify it. Isn't that kind of what we do when someone does us wrong? We want to justify it. We want to justify so we get everybody else. We start talking about it so that they would, you know, come along with our side, so we justify it. That makes us feel like we did the right thing, the right decision, you know. So that's kind of what they were doing. We made the right decision. We're the ones who say we shouldn't go, you know. And because of that, God's anger burned, and so for the 40 days that they were gone, he gave them 40 years in the wilderness. And in those 40 days in the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, none of them got to see the promised land that was promised that they were going to see. Because only the ones that were 20 and younger survived that trip. The elders of that trip were Joshua and Caleb, because they also were too up in age as well. And so we see, we're just about getting to Joshua's story, but then Moses dies. Well, let me just back up just a moment. And then the reason why Moses didn't get to see the promised land. you know, he was, the people were complaining and wanted water, and God told him to go over to the rock and speak to the rock. And it's the rock that was the rock of the living water. And what did he do? He didn't talk. He was mad. He didn't think they deserved it. And he strikes the rock twice. Well, guess what? He was disobedient. And because of his disobedience, he doesn't get to see he doesn't get to go into the promised land. But God takes him up and he lets him see the promised land. And so this is where the story of Joshua comes in. Now, Joshua is handed, and I love this analogy, and only because I played football from the time I was 5 to about 23 years old, and I was a fullback. I know you can't tell that now. You probably think I was a pulling guard, but I'm not. I was lean and quick and fast. Okay, that's not true. But anyway, I was lean-er. Anyway, and so I always, you know, if you got the ball, the fullback, he always gets the ball, and he's always, you know, the cloud, and he's fighting for every yard, and we get it all the way down to the goal line. I've worked my way all the way down to the goal line, and what is the play that comes in? Quarterback sneak. Used to make me so mad, you know, probably the right decision and the right call, but it made me mad. You mean I'm the one who got us all the way down here? What do you mean? I'm not going to get to cross over the line or the goal line. That's my reward, and you're going to call a quarterback sneak? Well, that's the dilemma I have, because I keep thinking back over, you know, Moses has gone through all this hardship. He's walked with these people, and these people are complaining, and they were griping the whole time and on this journey. And it's like, you know, all the way to almost to the goal line, and yet he has to give the ball to Joshua, and Joshua goes right over to the Jordan River. That's, you know, I think I'm going to make some hats. You know, make fullbacks great again, right? Would you? You'd wear one of those. I'm gonna make fullbacks great again, because we don't get the fullbacks don't get all the too much glory anymore. And so we see that this is where we come. So now we must draw from our lean into God's preparation. Now God's not going to call us to an event in our lives that we are not prepared for. Okay. Now, about 3 years ago, I think was the last time I maybe spoke here, maybe, I don't know. It's been a couple of years, but I was coming out of depression, pretty dark depression. I was pretty much spiraling out in my life. I had pretty much lost my personality. And not that I'm great or anything, but I didn't have joy. And I hate saying that out loud, because it just as a believer, to say you just didn't have joy. I'm just telling you, I was in a place and at a time in my life that I didn't know how to move forward. I did not know how to move forward. I had just a basic struggle. All the God's gifts, spiritual gifts that He'd given me, I had forgotten. My head was heavy. I slept probably 16, 17 hours out of the 24 hours. I just could not go. And so I really believe in the last, those 3 years, God began to shelter me. Now, I'm telling you this not just because I kind of talked a little bit. I was coming out of it the last time I spoke to you. But I kind of since then understand why I was sheltered for those 3 years. You know, a lot of times when God prepares us to go do something, He really prepares us. And He may have to shelter you for you to get that understanding, okay? And so He might shelter you. We don't understand the reasons why we go through hardships and struggles. I do know it's because of perseverance. It helps us to persevere. It helps us to move forward in the race. And I really believe that when I went through this depression and anxiety, I really realized that God was still, still there. And I remember screaming to God, saying, "God, you know, if you're not going to take this away from me, then so be it. Then I'll just have to live with it, and I'll have to figure it out. But I trust You, and I surrendered to it. I didn't know I had depression, because depression really is not talked about much. Men don't really talk about their struggles a whole lot, really, which is silly. And they don't, and they're not going to stop and ask for directions either, are they, ladies? So why would they tell you about their problems? Well, Lord healed me, and I began to come out of it. And as I was coming out of it, it still took a while for me to really. And then my personality came back. I remember it was like, oh yeah. You know, and then I would go to HEB, you know, the grocery store, and you know, my wife would tell me to go pick up three items, and it'd take me about two hours because I'm the mayor of HEB, you know, walking in and talking about, hey, how y'all doing, you know, and meeting folks. It's my visitation time anywhere I go with new people. My personality started to come back. I started having the energy again. And then what took place from there was when God began to tell me what is the event that he was sheltering me for. And so as we were going, God prepared me. I began to get in his word. I began to understand it. Now, you got to understand a little bit about me is that I have a learning disability. So it's not real easy for me to retain. You know, I'm dyslexic, and so reading is just not a fun time in my life. And so pretty much don't read, you know. And so retaining, can't retain. And I'm thinking, Lord, why would you call me in the ministry to preach the gospel when I can't really retain and can't remember? And he said, well, you're perfect. You're perfect because you're going to have to trust me every time you get up to speak. You know, when I get up, you know, they say, well, you get nervous. No, I'm fighting for my first word. Lord, what is the first word you're going to tell me? You know, because I can't retain. And God says, if you'll trust me through this. But then all of a sudden, God began to give me remind me of my spiritual gifts. And one of the greatest things that I found out is once he gives you a spiritual gift, they're irrevocable. He didn't take them away from you. Thank goodness. And so all of a sudden, those gifts started coming back, and I started recognizing it, and I started to become myself, and I started to walk. And so so actually in August is when I really, everything was clicking for me. And so in August, all of a sudden, God says, and I'm going to tell you these things just so you know, that for you, to encourage you, when you go through hardship, and when you come out of hardship, you're going to carry so much treasure, so much wisdom, that you can't carry it all. I promise you, once you have gone through the struggle that he wants you to go through, you're going to come out that other side with so much understanding, and so much wisdom, and so much better for the people that you're around, because you're going to be more passionate, and you're going to be more sensitive, and you're going to be more understanding. I thank the Lord every day that I went through that. Now, do I want to go through it again? No, Lord, I don't. That was miserable stuff. But to go through it, to see what you have in store for me, yeah, I'll go through it again. But I'm not going to like it. And so I want you to know, once you go through it, he's got something for you. He sheltered you for a reason. He put me in a shelter so that he could prepare me for the next part of my journey and my life and my race. And so I'm a chaplain for, character coach, which I don't, I'm a character, but I'm a chaplain for the Crawford High School team. So on Fridays, I do the coach's Bible study, and then I also talk to the football players, and then I travel with them, you know. But I also make a practice a week. And then the next thing I know it, another high school called, said, can you come do our coach's Bible study? I said, sure, I can do that. And that was on a Thursday morning. And then all of a sudden, a restaurant in town called Buzzard Billy's calls me and says, hey, could you help us out? I said, well, yeah, I can come eat. They go, no. Could you come and lead and be, have a Bible study and do some chaplain work? And I go, yeah, okay. And so that's on Wednesdays. And so I go to this restaurant at 9:45, and I do with the wait staff and some of the sous chefs and the other chef and the owners and some of them. We have a Bible study, and then I kind of wander around the restaurant, you know, and I go back in the kitchen, you know, check that out. And so my son once said, Dad, do they pay you to do that? I said, yeah. In oysters. And then my son, he kind of scratched his head. They better rethink that, Dad, shouldn't they? I said, yeah, they better rethink that, because it's crawfish season now. So, you know. And so I built this relationship with him this past week. The Bible study had kind of thinned out a little bit, wasn't as many, and it was just fewer because some of them got fired and some of them had a different shift. And so I thought, well, I got to do something. So I bet the wait staff that if I get more tips than you on Wednesday from 11 to 4, then you have to come to Bible study for the next couple of weeks. And if I lose, then I won't bother you. But even if I win, I'm going to give you the tip money because I'm not going to keep it. Boy, they said, yeah, we'll do that. Hustling for Jesus, that's all I got to say. Of course, I did call and had some ringers come in. But I had tips over just for that few hour shift. I raised about $600, you know. And they were blown away. But the gal that helped me, the floor manager, because I couldn't, again, dyslexic, you tell me to work on a computer, I'm like, no, I don't think so. I can play Spider on the computer, that's about it. So she told me toward the end, she said, and this is what really just blew me away. She says that you really surround yourself with a lot of great people. And I go, that's the key. Surround yourself with a lot of great people. People who love you and will build you up because you're going to need them in the race and the struggles and the difficulties that you're going to have. Okay? And then not only that, so that's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then a church calls. Says, hey, could you come fill in and preach a little bit? Yeah, I can do that, you know. Now, I got a full-time job with Legacy Outfitters, okay? It's a full-time job. Would you come be our teaching pastor until we find a lead? Because their pastor had died about a year or so ago. And I said, yeah, I could do that. Because I'm not going to tell God no, because I was on the bench for 3 years. And when you're on the bench and you can't move forward, is God ever going to use me again? Was the thought that went through my mind. And I know some of you are going through hardships and difficulties. And you're asking yourself, is God ever going to get me out of this? Is he ever going to bring me out? Is he ever going to use me again? And he does. So I started preaching at this church. And it's like a full-time job. Church work is messy. That's all I got to say. Whoo, they're demanding. No, they're great. It's awesome. I just want you to know it's a fit for me. After church, there's more spit cups left in the pews than any church I've ever been a part of. Isn't it fun, ladies? Can't believe I said that out loud. But it's cool. You know, they got shirts that says, these are my church clothes. It's awesome. I'm a great fit. So anyway, I told you that to tell you this. God is going to prepare you. He's going to give you all the tools. He's going to give you everything that you need. So if you're struggling today, God is going to use you again in a mighty way. I'm busier than I've ever been in my entire life. And it's a good busyness. I'm accomplishing more than I've ever accomplished. Because when I was sheltered, the Lord taught me how to use the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit that dwells in you when you come to Christ? Do we not tap into the Holy Spirit? Do we not use the Holy Spirit? It is the greatest gift he's given us. He dwells with us. You see, not only does God go before us, he goes with us and he comes behind us. And he's going to help you with every struggle and every need that you have. He will prepare you for this next journey, for this next event in your life. Well, let me hurry up here. And so here we are with Joshua. What we know about Joshua, he was an Israelite. He was a slave. He saw the heavy hand of Pharaoh. Joshua was a firstborn son. We know that. He also had great parents. We recognize that because his parents were obedient. They spread the blood over the doorway, and he was spared. So we know that his parents walked in the law. Parents were faithful. We know that. Raised in a faithful home. He was a soldier. He was an obedient servant to Moses. He was mentored by Moses. He watched what Moses did. He was there. He was excellent with Moses. He took his job serious. And he saw all the things that were going around. He loved Moses and he took care of Moses. Joseph was an early riser and he was called by God. God always prepares us for the next event. He wants us to do for his glory. God loves us the same as he loved Joshua. So he doesn't love you anymore. I mean, Joshua any more than he loves you or me. He loves us all the same. We're his children. And he wants to use you in a great way and for the next event that's coming in your life. He's preparing you for. So God loves us. We know that. So we look back on our life and we will recognize all the things that he's prepared us for up until this moment in our lives, right? Right? I mean, he's prepared you for a lot of things already that's taken place in your life that you've seen that, you know? And so Joshua is prepared. He is the guy that's going to take him to the rest of the way. He's the guy that's going to take him over the Jordan River. He's the guy that's going to show great leadership. Why? Because there are people invested in his life. You know, my brother, you know how I'm telling you, this is... My brother, I think he's one of the best preachers. And not only is one of the best preachers, he's one of the best shepherds I know, the pastor. You don't usually get that combination, okay? You don't usually get that combination. You don't usually get somebody sometimes who's a good speaker, but doesn't really do well with the personality shepherding his group. But he's got both. You're blessed to have both, and I know you know that. And the reason why I say that is because you know all the people who invested in his life? When he was a kid, we lived a block from the church in New Orleans, and we had a lot of seminary folks come in our youth. We had some of the best youth ministers in the country, invested in him, and invested in me. He was well fed as a child and as a teenager in God's word. He was. People invested in his life. God was preparing him at an early age. God set the course for him and separated him and said, you're who I'm going to use. But he prepared him. You know how I know he prepared him? He brought him to this town, Dublin, in the middle of nowhere, if you're from New Orleans. I remember one time we were quail hunting, probably right where this church is. And he looked at me and he said, you know what? He said, I feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I said, Mike, you are. You know? And so God had prepared him. Just like he prepares you and I. It's the same way. And we're to walk in that. Okay? And so here's the last one. We must lean into God's plan. We've got to quit being thinking it's my plan. It's his plan. God's plan is my plan. God's plan is your plan. And so whatever plans you think you have, you just throw them out the window. Because that may not be God's plan. For the Israelites, getting to where God wanted them, they had to face their fears. They had to face challenges. Listen, you know why it's difficult in this part of the race? Because God is trying to get you to a place, and he's got to do everything he can to get you to that place. And these Israelite children wandered for 40 years. You know, that's probably an 11-day journey, really. It shouldn't have taken 40 years. It's about 11 days. Well, I don't know, factor in all those millions of people, it could have been a lot more. But think about it. Think about it. And so, if he wants to get you to a certain place, he can maybe shelter you. He may shelter you to get you to go. And there's going to be struggles, so that struggle will turn into what God can use you. So each time he's trying to get these Israelites to follow his direction and to be obedient. But they're disobedient. Why? Because they were trying to do it their way. Because it was their plan, not God's plan. It's never going to work well when we try to do it on our own. It's God's plan. You have the best intentions in the world, but if it's not God's plan, it's really in vain. So this morning, are you fulfilling the purpose in which God has called you to go do? And what's your next event that's coming in your life? And be of good cheer. Be strong and courageous. I know in Joshua 1, in that verse, first couple of nine verses, it says, be strong and courageous. He's saying, look, I'm going to show you all these things. I'm going to be with you, but you've got to be strong and you've got to take courage. It takes courage sometimes to walk in Christ, to stand for your faith. It's not easy, I promise you. I know you know that. And don't... I'm just telling you, you have to be strong and courageous. When God speaks to you, then go do it. Then go do it. He has prepared you for it. He's not going to call you somewhere and not prepare you for that reason. Okay? So wherever you are today in your life, whether you're struggling, whether you're going through depression, whether you're going through anxiety, health issues or what, God is preparing you for your next event. I don't know what that is. It's your journey. It's not mine. But you need good people to be put around you. You know, there's a reason why we go through certain things. There's a reason why. I hope you've been encouraged in understanding that God comes to do a great work in your life, and he uses you and I to help each other in this race. You know? You know, he's put Craig in my life so that he can help me in the race, this middle part of the race. I know I'm no spring chicken, so I'm probably closer to the ending, but he's put him in my life to help me. I've put good people around me to help me continue to run. I'm not going to put people in my life that are going to tear me down. Why would you do that? Why? Why? Are you fulfilling God's purpose? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for our chance to be together. And Lord, I'm grateful, Father, for the time you sheltered me to bring me to the next event in my life, Lord. I'm just grateful. And Father, I want to do all that you want me to do. I don't want to go back and sit on the bench. Thank you, Lord, for using each one of us here in this auditorium today, in this worship service. Lord, we're grateful. We want to be used by you. Lord, we just don't want to sit and watch. We want to participate. We have to be doers. We have to be doing in you, Lord. And so, Father, you are giving us all the tools. May we be encouraged to know that you have prepared us when you call us and ask us to go do something. And I pray that we would fulfill the purpose in which you've called us to. So, Lord, I'm just grateful. And, Father, whatever is going on in those who are watching or those who are sitting in this worship time, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to their hearts. Because, Father, I know that I couldn't fix myself during those times. And no one else could fix me, only you could, and you did. So, Lord, come fix us. Help us to be your children who will champion the cause and to help encourage others and to help each other on this journey, no matter what that struggle is. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for our time. In Jesus we pray. Amen.